you lost a survivor and you're feeling down, David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost. Oh baby, this is why Blank lost.
Welcome to this week's edition of Why Blank Lost. And remember, that's just the overall title of the show. I'm not making a joke about how little Chelsea was on the show by like calling her a blank or something. I'm your host, David Bloomberg, and I've had only four fewer confessionals than Chelsea, even though I've never even been on Survivor. Now, that was a joke about her screen time. But now that I think about it, I actually went to a finale once and was brought on stage before the show and asked some questions about myself. So if that counts as a confessional, I'm only down three. But anyway, someone who was on Survivor and who would never be considered invisible, whether it was on the show or on Twitter, is my co-host, Jessica Lewis. Jessica?
Oh, Jessica. I'm sorry. I was doing my Chelsea impression. I apologize.
Oh, okay. You did a very good job.
I'm sorry. Listen, I'm not trying to be mean.
So were you standing perfectly still while you were doing that?
And I was balancing a ball.
Oh, okay.
She was very good at doing all of those things, standing still and balancing a ball and not saying much, at least from what we saw.
I'm sure we'll get to that.
Yeah. And so, I'm really not trying to be mean.
Okay. You could say that all you want now. And all that means is that you're going to get meaner as it goes on. We know how you are. You're the mean one. I'm the nice one. So that's the basic rules of this podcast. But the other rules are the ones that I wrote back after the first season. And each week we go through them and they're rules for winning Survivor. And we try to figure out how the person who was just recently voted out did in terms of those rules. Anyone can see the latest version at robhasawebsite.com/survivor rules. And for anyone who may not have seen it on Twitter, Ryan Ulrich from last season just tweeted out a few days ago a picture of his pregame prep that included a printout of these rules that he took with him, much like Rob Cesternino did many years prior.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Chelsea has indicated in her pregame press and since then in some of her postgame press, too, that she is a super fan as well. Though I didn't see any indication that she was a super fan to that level. Alas, we all know that Chelsea was damn near invisible on our TVs, which means this week we will have our work cut out for us. But regular listeners know that we don't limit ourselves to what's on TV. We look at secret scenes, web confessionals, interviews of and about the player, and even social media.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Before we get to all that, though, we have a couple other things to discuss. First, there is the matter of our predictions. Last week, at the end of the show, I predicted that we would both be wrong in our predictions, and I was right about that.
So you get credit for being right about us both being wrong for our predictions.
Sure, I'm going to take it.
All right, I guess I'll give it to you because I got to give you something. Yeah. I still have that twofer that I'm one up on you. So I suppose I'll give you that. But yeah, we were wrong. We were way wrong.
Yeah. And
which is funny because you had been wanting I felt like you wanted to pick Chelsea like all the time. It was just like your Chris thing. You were like, I'm going to pick Chris. I'm going to pick Chris. And then when you didn't pick Chris, he went home. And it's the same thing with Chelsea.
No, really, I didn't. I just thought last time would be an appropriate time. And then see, that's the thing. Not only was I wrong about my prediction of who would be voted out, but also in my certainty that Chelsea would be either a zero vote finalist or the first one booted in the finale. Now, in retrospect, knowing what we know, this outcome makes sense also because so much time was spent in this episode on the family visit, discussions of targeting Wendell, etc. It's a shame for her that she didn't even really get any attention in her final episode.
I know. I'm sad happens, for her. And like, that's why, like, yeah, when I say that, like, when I made the joke at the beginning, like, I really am sad for Chelsea because it's, I think it's got to be frustrating when you're out there and you're playing the game. And I know because I played the game and there were a lot of things that weren't seen about my gameplay that frustrated me. So I can only imagine how she feels with the way that her edit came across. And it's got to be a hard thing to be a part of because that's what she's now known for.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Now, I will say, part of going through the rules, we will try to make sense of what happened there as well. So we'll see if we can find anything, you know, that helps us there. But although I was wrong in the prediction and wrong in where Chelsea would end up, I was right about one thing we discussed last week, and it wasn't a prediction, it was an analysis. At the beginning of this episode, Kellen explained her reasoning behind using the extra vote and throwing both votes at Laurel at the last tribal council. She said she was worried that Michael and Wendell would both use idols and be safe, so she needed to protect herself, just as I surmised last week.
Okay, listen, you were right again, but I still don't agree with the use of the extra vote the way that she did it. I understand the thought process, but if you know that Michael is voting for Wendell, and I understand she had some paranoia about him using his idol, but he had no reason to use his idol at that point. I don't think that there was, if he didn't use it, God, he didn't even use it this week. So I don't think that Wendell was even thinking about using it last week. And she just, I feel like she wasted her vote. I feel like she could have used it in a different fashion. She could have put Wendell's name down there twice and then it would have been a huge move, but she didn't.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is, and obviously she was wrong about this, but she believed Michael's idol story. So if you look at it from that viewpoint and you believe Michael's idol story and you know that one person pulling out an idol frequently brings another person pulling out their idol, that's what she was talking about when she said she was afraid they both would. Because you're right. As it stood, Wendell had no reason to. But Michael pulls out an idol, I guarantee you Wendell pulls out his.
Well, that's why she should have demanded to see this idol of Michael's. I understand his story was really good, but if he's trying to convince you to work with him and he's saying, well, I've got an idol, so this is why we should work together, at that point you say, all right, then show me the idol. I really need to know that this is what's happening so I know how to use my vote in the best manner possible tonight. And she didn't do that next part of it. She bought into his story, and unfortunately it cost her extra vote, I think.
Yeah, that's true. So, all right. Well, now that we've got that addressed, we can move on.
Yeah,
to
now
the
that you've patted yourself
podcast.
On the back, you've patted yourself yeah, on the back yeah, with well. All of the things that you were right about.
Well, you know, I mean, I could pat you on the back, but then I'd be patting the shirt that says "David, you're right," literally on the back.
That's true. David, you're right. That is very true. Yeah. I want to wear that again. We need to find another reason to like bring that shirt out.
You should wear that every day.
It is a great, great shirt. I love it. So, all right. I'm sorry. We have to be focusing on Chelsea.
That's right. And, you know, one thing that I find very interesting is looking back at what I thought about Chelsea in the preseason, because I talked about her being a super fan who discussed strategy with her family during commercials and noted that at least two of her tribe mates had an opinion of her that made it sound like she was going to be a big backstabber and flipper. And what I was worried about was that she would be voted out right away for appearing too schemey. So, you know, slight misread on my part there.
Yeah, and you know, it's really strange because her pregame impressions were kind of all over the place. It seemed like some people didn't get a read on her. Other people did think, I think Desiree was like, oh, she's going to slit your throat. You know, I mean, there were some very strong opinions about her being, you know, almost scary and like devilish like, and that she was going to be, you know, backstabbing. And then there were other people that were like, I'm not getting much from her. I don't really get a good read. So it was really kind of all over the place, I think, as far as people's perceptions of her. So I think that kind of adds to the allure of who is Chelsea, because then when we saw her on the show, that's not what we saw either. So it's very, very, it's all really odd as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I don't know. The people who said, yeah, I'm not getting much off of her, I guess they were right.
Well, that's true. That is very true. So maybe they were getting the correct read off of her. And what we saw was what actually happened. But even in her interviews, when she would do her web confessionals, she seemed like an intriguing person. She was very well spoken and clearly had plans with what she was doing. There was strategy involved. It sounded like she knew what she was talking about pre-game, during the game. And did it just not carry into the game when maybe she was by herself discussing her world? It was this fantastic strategy bubble that she lived in all by herself. I'm not sure.
Well, yeah, we'll definitely get to that. I guarantee we'll get to that, because
I'm jumping ahead.
No, that's okay, because Chelsea was a fan of the big move, at least in theory. You know, she talked about it in her prior web confessional. She said in her final words and at Ponderosa that she went out making a big move. And this raises a couple questions, such as what big move was she making? And more importantly, whether that's actually the reason she was voted out. We know we're going to have to do some digging on this one, because we sure didn't get to see a lot on the show. But hey, it's still our job to figure out why Chelsea lost.
That's right. Let's give her our best guesses.
Oh, it's not guessing. We don't guess here. We analyze.
No. That's right. We analyze. Yeah. We put it all together so then David can pat himself on the back.
Right. So.
And I'll pat along the back as well. All right. Okay.
All right. So the first and most important rule, of course, is to scheme and plot. And we immediately find ourselves in an interesting situation, because we have such an absence of direct evidence on which we can judge Chelsea's strategic abilities. But even that absence can tell us something. And this is, one of these things that came up that I think may explain, why we didn't see a lot of her on TV, because Jeff Probst told Josh Wigler that, when the topic of Chelsea's lack of airtime came up, the story was being driven more by others. And then he also said, there are a few players who were really taking charge, and so those players tend to be featured more in the interviews. So basically, he's telling us that others were driving the story and taking charge, not Chelsea. That directly correlates to what I've been thinking, and sometimes saying on Twitter, for, much of the season. Chelsea wasn't driving the strategy. She was certainly in on some plans and voted the correct way almost every time, but that doesn't equate to strategizing or being a strategist. It just equates to being in the right alliance.
But it's weird, because in her exit interviews, she has this idea that she was much more prominent and leading the charge in much of the strategy that was occurring, and that she just didn't get credit for it. Other people did. And that's where I wonder about her own perception of herself, where sometimes when we did actually witness her in strategic conversations, and it was one in particular where they kept changing who they were going to vote for, whether it would be Stephanie or Michael or Jenna. And every conversation that she was involved in, she was changing her vote because someone else was saying we should change our vote. And she was always like, okay, yeah, yep. Well, and it was just, and I thought that was interesting that she's involved, but she was listening to what other people were saying. But then in the exit interviews, she was saying how she was actually providing that information, and she was whispering in people's ears and telling them what to do and then starting those conversations. But then the little that we did see, it seemed like the exact opposite.
Yeah, definitely. And you said a lot there, and I have notes about all of it. So I'm not quite sure where to go with all that. No. I mean, it's true. You took like several of the points I was going to make and condensed them down. So, first, let me talk about what some of the other players thought, and then we'll eventually get to some of what you just said, because it all fits here in the first rule. I mean, it's just that there's so much going on, and I think you hit the nail on the head in that there's what was going on and there's what Chelsea thought was going on.
Yes, and that's exactly the thing. Yes.
Yeah. And Rob, even I don't know if you had a chance to listen to the recap podcast yet, but Rob, he caught that too. And as I'm sitting here taking notes and listening to it in the background, I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. We just came to the exact same conclusion. She had a distorted view of what was actually going on. Kind of like you and I discussed Desiree did. And, you know, he noted that this could also partially explain her absence from confessionals, because those confessionals might not have made any sense if she was saying something was going on, but that wasn't really what was going on. Then the producers can't use that footage.
Right.
And then it would also explain her saying some of the things that you were just talking about. Like, you know, she played hard. She was able to pull off moves. Her characterization of this tribal council. And, you know, we've seen it before. We've said it before. Everyone is the hero of their own story. And I would just say this story seems a bit more fictional than others.
And I do think that she's in a tricky spot, too, because she's playing the game with someone like Kellen. And Bradley actually described Kellen as a producer's dream, you know, when he had to play his word association game. And she really is, because not only does she give you the story, but she gives it to you in a very animated, lively, loud fashion. And she uses analogies and says things about Helen Keller. And there's all of these components there that just make the producers go, yes, like that's fantastic, because her delivery is so good. And I don't know if maybe that was part of it, where she's playing with someone who is not only good at the game, but also presents it so well that it makes what Kellen says more interesting than what Chelsea says, even if it's the same thing.
Well, even if it's the same thing, but I think I'm with Rob. I don't think it was the same thing.
So I don't know. I don't know if it was just that in her own head, she thought that this is what was happening and this is how the game was going to be moving forward. And maybe she really was completely unaware. But then you do have to look at where she was sitting. And she did vote correctly, except for two of the votes. She was in the majority alliance. So I don't know how wrong she could necessarily be if eventually someone brought her around to where she needed to be. You know, if Kellen is whispering her sweet nothings and telling her what to do, I feel like Chelsea was taking that and going, okay, that's what I'm going to do. And then in Chelsea's mind, that became her strategy as well, instead of just Kellen's, if that makes sense. You know, that she had to have gotten there.
Yeah, but I think that perhaps at least what Rob is suggesting, and I what I'm suggesting too, is not that she made wrong decisions, because clearly, you know, she was, like you said, getting to the right decision. It's that I think she believed she was driving the action, whereas that's certainly not what we saw. And if the producers are sitting there, you know, seeing Kellen talking about driving the action, and then they're looking at the footage, and then they see Chelsea saying, I'm driving the action, they're looking at it and going, well, wait, this doesn't mesh up. And
yes,
what we're seeing is that Kellen's the one doing it,
yeah.
So we have to drop Chelsea out.
I gotcha. When, like, I see. So, like, in the actual, like, on the beach when they're discussing things, it's clear who's actually running the show. And then when Chelsea's in her confessionals, she's patting herself on the back saying, I came up with this. And they're thinking, no, we just watched it on the beach and Kellen came up with it. I got
it. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that could very well be what was going on. And like you said, everyone's a hero of their own world. And, you know, I think in her mind, that's what she thought was happening.
Yeah. So to circle back a little bit, just to see what some of the other players thought of Chelsea and, you know, her strategizing. I want to go back to what several of the players said either in the game or in interviews. As a setup to this, Gordon Holmes asks each player about all the other players when they're voted out. And three separate times, Chelsea was associated with not doing a whole lot. Jenna barely had a word association she could give for Chelsea, saying nothing, just regular. And then she later added that Chelsea and Angela were just kind of there, like wet blankets. Going back a while, Morgan said Chelsea's edit is how she was, practically invisible. She also said, quote, Chelsea didn't game.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was Bradley. He had plenty to say about her. He told Gordon Holmes, Chelsea was completely irrelevant. Her edit is actually pretty representative of what she was doing out there. And then in another interview, he said, in the game, she was her edit. She was quiet, fake, irrelevant. And on top
she
of that,
he's
from
salty,
someone
though.
Who is... Oh, yeah. Well, of course.
Right.
But from someone who is still in the game, you know, Wendell said in a secret scene back from the taco reward earlier in the game that Chelsea was a silent observer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to be fair, I will mention that Desiree said in one of her interviews that Chelsea was playing hard, that she had some say, but she was linked with Kellen and Wendell. And she did more than was shown on screen, which, I mean, would almost have to be the case, quite honestly. But I think we need to remember that Desiree is the same person who we found to not have a real understanding of her own play and position when we were talking about why she lost. So
right.
I take this assessment with a huge grain of salt, especially compared to what everyone else said.
Yeah. And I really think that when any future Survivor players out there that might be listening, when you are actually determining who you want to work with, you have to be mindful of how they're playing their game versus how you're playing your game. Because we've seen this in a lot of seasons where two people are playing essentially the same game because they're playing together. But one of them is a little more boisterous about it, is a little more forward about it. Looks like they're leading the charge, and then you're left sitting there trying to explain how no, it really was me. I just wasn't so vocal about it, and you don't get credit for it. So this is something to keep in mind.
Oh,
you
yeah,
know, that
absolutely.
If you want credit for what you're doing, it has to be obvious that that's what you're doing, or no one is going to know that you're actually doing it.
Right. It's the... technically, I have it in the second rule, but really, because it's like, keep your scheming secret, but don't keep it so secret that nobody knows what you're doing. So
exactly. yes.
But
yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, looking at what Chelsea had to say about her own game, she told Josh that she wanted to be under the radar pre-merge. I would say that was a rousing success, and she did it beyond her wildest dreams.
You're so terrible. Oh, my Lord.
Now, she also said she wanted to control what was happening without anyone knowing she was the one calling the shots. And this, again, is where we get to this differing worldview thing, because Bradley previously explained how he and Kellen would plant seeds with Chelsea and Desiree, and then they would make suggestions that Bradley and Kellen would follow because they were the suggestions that Bradley and Kellen wanted to follow and wanted them to make. And then Chelsea and Desiree would think it was their idea. So like we saw with Desiree before her, Chelsea apparently still thinks that.
So I've got to give props, though, for Kellen and Bradley pulling that off, because apparently they did it really successfully well, because two people left the game thinking that they were in much more control than they actually were, when this is what the whole strategy was with Bradley and Kellen, was to make other people feel like they were in more control than they actually were. So props to them for pulling it off and making them feel that way, because it worked. You know, it definitely worked. Desiree and Chelsea both felt like they were doing so much more than we saw.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, continuing with Chelsea's viewpoint, Chelsea told Josh that she played hard and played a lot of the way she wanted to play, being able to pull off, quote, a lot of the moves she wanted to make. Now, I'm trying to see things from Chelsea's perspective. Really, I am. But I have no idea what these moves are that she pulled off. Maybe they were purple moves, so we didn't see them. or, you know, maybe she's talking about voting out Bradley back at the last Swap Tribe, since that's something a lot of Chelsea fans have pointed to when they've argued with me on Twitter. And I have no doubt Chelsea wanted Bradley gone. However, that doesn't mean she was the one who made the move, as opposed to going along with the move someone else was making. And in this case, you know, Bradley explained in his RHAP interview how Chelsea had the chance to flip before, but she didn't until she went along with Dominic's move, which Dominic had talked about to other players ahead of time. Bradley laid out how and why Dominic was responsible. And, you know, he said that it was definitely a Dominic move with Chelsea just along for the ride. I'll give her credit for going along with it and mentioning it in a web confessional, you know, that because of doing this, she could have a more direct alliance with Kellen. But that still doesn't mean she was the one who initiated the move.
She did claim to initiate the Brendan vote, though, because she suggested that they vote out. And there is a, this is one of her four web confessionals when she talked about voting out a guy instead of a girl, because they were anticipating that if there would be an idol play, that they would play it for a girl because the other side would be expecting that the vote would be going towards a girl. And so she says that it was her suggestion. And I do think that we saw some discussion on the beach about that, too, where she was suggesting voting out one of the boys instead.
Yeah, when we did see that, the question is, was that one of the seeds that Bradley and Kellen planted, or did she really come up with that herself? You know, and
yeah,
that was one of the things Bradley said. Right. Because that was one of the things Bradley said was, you will see Desiree and Chelsea on TV say, hey, how about doing this? And Bradley said in his interviews that was because we were planting those seeds with them. Now, maybe she did. Maybe she did come up with the idea of voting out Brendan. It's not like that was some big move. The whole alliance was voting out someone from the Malolos. Coming up with the idea to pick a particular Malolo, that's, you know, that is not the pinnacle of strategy.
Right. No, I understand that. I'm just trying to explain, maybe in Chelsea's world, that's what she thought was her big move. You were wondering what it was. Maybe what it was.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it was. I don't consider that a quote unquote big move. But yeah, everybody has their own definition, I guess. Now, you did mention that, you know, Chelsea was in the majority almost the whole game. But it's seemingly been because she's been following along with people like Kellen and or Dominic. And she even said in a web confessional this episode that the votes so far had been pretty simple and straightforward. And yes, they have been, because she just goes along with the majority. That's a simple, straightforward vote. But, you know, we were just talking about how Chelsea said she knew she wanted to make a big move and take a risk, particularly this week, which leads to the question, what big move was that? So even if she said, you know, the Brendan thing was the big move, which I don't think it was, what was her big move this time? Voting with Kellen as usual? Because that's what she was doing, you know, knowing that the guys might be targeting her, so she targeted one of them back. Those are not big moves. Those are not risky moves. Those are business as usual on Survivor. And really, it's just being reactive instead of being proactive. Oh, you're coming after me? Well, then I'll come after you. That's not a big move. That's self-preservation. Or, since it didn't work, I would say attempted self-preservation.
See, what she should have done if she wanted a big move, go after Kellen. because you know Laurel is upset with Kellen. So Laurel, who can't get away from Dominic and Wendell, maybe Dominic and Wendell would appreciate a Kellen vote because Kellen's the other one who's playing a game like they are. So I don't know. I feel like that would have been a big move, potentially. And that would have been my pick.
Well, yes, it would have. It would have. So I'm glad she didn't do that. But
I need to justify my thoughts here.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, you know, with all of this said, I do want to wrap up rule one with something that I find particularly ironic, which is that Chelsea said in her interview with Rob that Laurel was passive and just went along with Wendell and Dominic. Because Chelsea seemingly went along with her group every time, while Laurel has shown that she has been playing the game. She has been deceiving her Malolo tribe mates. We talked about that last week, etc. Yeah, she's voting with Wendell and Dominic because it helps her right now, but she's at least making other considerations and fooling other people. But again, this adds to the idea that she had a very skewed concept of what was going on in the game.
Yeah, she called Laurel a goat and that she was going to, in the final three, she, Laurel, and Angela sitting together, that she was going to beat both of them. And I when I read the term goat in relationship to Laurel, I was a little taken aback. Because I do understand where everybody is kind of at right now with Laurel, where we're all yelling at the television screens going, what are you doing? You're walking yourself into a third place finish. You know, that's kind of what we're seeing. But Laurel has done a hell of a job getting to where she is with this secret alliance that even Chelsea said she had no idea that Wendell and Dominic were as close with Laurel and Donathan as they apparently are. So kudos to them for pulling that off. That's a tricky thing to do out there, to keep something on the down low so much. But to call her a goat, I was like, that's a very, we know that that's a strong word, right? We know that. We've run into that issue before using that term. And it's I don't want to cause any Twitter wars. No Twitter wars. But to hear her say that, I was rather in shock, because I don't think that that's a term that I would associate with Laurel. I don't think very many people would, although we're questioning where she's situating herself. We talked about her being kind of a Tasha and Spencer if she continues on the path that she's taking, you know, and certainly Tasha and Spencer were not goats. So it's a different way to play the game. We're questioning it, but I don't think it's goat-like at all.
Yeah, and I will definitely, I don't know about you, but I will definitely get into a larger discussion of Laurel's choices when we get to Appendix A.
Okay.
So, but for now, I think we're ready to head to the second rule, which discusses how players need to avoid scheming and plotting too much and backstabbing too soon. And contrary to what Desiree and Chris thought in the preseason, Chelsea was not a big backstabber and flipper. She was certainly not voted out because she was scheming and plotting too much, unless you saw something I didn't.
Yeah, I would go with no. I mean, the only thing that she did consider, and this is in one of her web confessionals, she talked about how the Bradley vote could potentially hurt her because of this whole Navidi Strong idea. And it was something that it was actually a concept that she worked through in order to justify the Bradley vote right before the merge, basing it on the attitude. And at least she considered was backstabbing appropriate there. So she thought about whether or not it was too soon, which so she didn't do it too soon, but she thought about whether or not it was too soon.
Right. And then she had a good explanation for Kellen that Kellen accepted.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
So, all right. So we can quickly dispense with that rule and go to the third, which tells players they need to be flexible. And You know, while Chelsea was clearly following along with the Kellen Alliance, we did hear that she had a side alliance with Dominic at one point, though that obviously evaporated. And also one with Donathan, though that apparently shriveled up at the Jenner Tribal Council. It doesn't appear that she really had much else in terms of backup alliances.
Yeah, I was actually surprised with the Dominic stuff when she talked about how he approached her on day two and was like, hey, I want to work with you. I think we can go fairly far. Like, I know that there was some discussions between them as far as throwing the challenge as it related to Bradley and all of that. But I didn't realize I was actually just as surprised. I think it was last week when I heard her talk about Donathan, I think in one of her web confessionals, and she had this like secret alliance with Donathan. And I was like, what the hell's happening? Like, you know, I mean, so I was surprised by both of those comments. So, yeah, I mean, so apparently she was flexible, but that was all I really saw in that regard as well.
Yeah, I would tend to think that Dominic probably went up to everyone on day two and said, let's have a secret alliance.
Yes, probably.
She just didn't realize she was one of many. You know, the Donathan thing. Well, like I said, yeah, she had it. It was so secret we never saw it. And then it went away and it never amounted to anything. I think I even said last week, I can guarantee by the fact that we didn't see anything about it, that it won't, it won't show up on our screens. And the other thing, though, on the flip side that shows a lack of flexibility is, you know, you already mentioned the one time she went against her alliance, which was voting out Bradley. And that was a good move. Although, as I've said, I think that was Dominic's good move. But other than that, she was pretty attached to Kellen at the hip. She never really considered flipping with the Malolo or making a move to put herself in a better post-merge position until this episode, which, as I said earlier, was reactionary and an attempt at self-preservation rather than, you know, particularly strategic.
Yeah, she was joining in on beating the Navidi strong drum. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, and it helped her. I have no problem with it when it helped her. It's just she should have had some side alliances too.
Yes. No, I agree. I mean, it's something that we've heard a lot in people writing about the season and how the pagonging and all of this is kind of boring. But really, when you're playing the game, I don't know if it's going to get you farther in the game because you have a solid core group that you can tag along with. Great. But yeah, side alliances, other options, you need those too.
I mean, you know, and I was planning on bringing this up later, but if she had maybe done some work on side alliances, making relationships with someone like, oh, I don't know, Laurel, maybe Laurel trusts her enough to actually go with her this time.
Well, and you know what? You brought it up, so I'm talking about it now. If you want Laurel in your final three, you started it. But if you want Laurel in your final three, yes, absolutely you should be formulating some type of a relationship with her, some side alliance, some something, because my God, you want to sit next to this girl in the final three because you're convinced you can beat her. You need to work on that. You absolutely need to work on that.
Yeah. So that didn't happen. And so we move on from the third rule to the fourth, which tells players not to let their emotions control them. And I don't think Chelsea had a problem here, though it didn't really come up very much. The one time I remember anything coming up is that Chelsea was apparently somewhat close to Libby, but she didn't give Libby even a hint that Libby was the backup target when Libby ended up getting voted out. So, you know, good for Chelsea to separate her emotions from her strategy there.
Yeah, my notes were not a problem. So that's my rule four.
All right. I bet you fit that on a post-it, didn't you?
Yeah. I'm really not trying to be mean. It was funny.
Yes.
I do love post-its. I'm a huge post-it fan. I'm just going to throw that out there. like most people, just like I'm a yellow pad fan, you know, I like to write everything out. I have a computer. I could put things into my computer, but I write everything on Post-its and I stick it in front of me because then I can feel better about myself when I like it's done. Like I can check that off. I can throw it away. And there goes the Post-it. So anyway, it's a little side note. I love Post-its.
Well, I will tell you, I work with someone, and actually she's my boss, who takes Post-its, writes stuff on it, and then sticks them on her computer screen. So her computer screen has all her Post-it notes all around them. It's very amusing.
Oh my God, I do that too. That's amazing. I have so many Post-it notes like stuck, especially if I'm on trial, forget about it. The whole thing is covered in Post-it notes because it's all of the things I need to remember to do. That's amazing. I love your boss. Tell her I said hi.
All right, I will do that. But meanwhile, everyone else is going, what rule do Post-it notes come under? I don't understand it. So we'd better move on to the fifth rule, and which talks about how players have to pretend to be nice and play the social game. That's not the Post-it game. That's the social game. And,
right.
You know, as far as we can tell, which admittedly is not very far, I think Chelsea did fine here. In some ways, I'm basing this on the absence of evidence to the contrary. Which is to say, if Chelsea had been causing drama and arguments, I have little doubt that producers would have shown that because it would have been something interesting about her.
And you know what? This is the one rule that I found like a resonating theme when it came to Chelsea. In her web confessionals, if there was one thing she mentioned over and over again, it was connections and forming bonds. She had multiple web confessionals, and I'm not talking the ones that we actually saw on the during the show, but the extras, where she talked about building those relationships. And she, in one of them, she talked about how she's watched Survivor for years, and she knows how important it is to have a relationship with every single person out there. You never know when you're going to need them to get further in the game. And I think that's the risk I took in developing relationships with everyone. And I thought that was really quite intriguing because it seemed so significant to her to form these relationships with everyone and to have some type of a bond and a connection. And one of the interviews that she did, the word was nebulous, that they basically I can't remember who asked her the question, but that she almost seemed nebulous because it was kind of almost this weird world she had created while she was out there that no one really knew. It appeared no one really knew where she was going or what direction she was heading in. At least that was what was implied. And I thought that perhaps, even though we know she was very strong with Kellen and was kind of following along with Kellen, maybe she was, I don't know, too all over the place. Maybe she just talked to everybody. Maybe she really did try to formulate a bond and a connection with everyone, but in a way that didn't really speak to the game and just confused people. But then again, Bradley said it took him till day 17 to have a genuine conversation with Chelsea. So I don't really know. Like I'm even more confused. I think I've just talked myself into a circle. I'm not sure. Maybe she was terrible at it.
It's possible. It's possible that this is another situation where her view on things is skewed. She thinks I've created all these great relationships, and maybe some other people are like, what's going on here? I'm tired of talking about the weather with this woman.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, Bradley certainly had his own interpersonal issues, which I think he would probably admit. And, you know, the two of them certainly did not exactly become great friends, but you know, we sit here and we just talked about Laurel, who didn't seem to have any relationship with her. Or if she did, it's been very well hidden.
Yeah. And so I don't know. I mean, I wanted to think that she was really good at this. But if she was really good at it, I feel like people's responses about her would be different. Someone like Laurel would be more interested in creating some type of a working relationship with her out there. Yeah, so I do think that maybe, again, it was in her mind, she thought talking about the weather was a sufficient bonding moment, you know, with someone out on the island. Isn't that a pretty sunset? you know, maybe she thought that that was creating a relationship. I don't know. I'm not sure. We didn't see it. So I don't know.
Right. Yes. All right. Moving on to rule six. It warns players against being too much of a threat. And certainly we saw a lot of discussion both on the show and in web confessionals about Chelsea being a quote unquote challenge beast. Of all the players left, I don't think I would exactly consider her the biggest threat, but, you know, Dominic and Wendell were the ones calling her that, and they didn't want her around with the possibility of her winning immunity challenges that, well, they probably figure they need because they know that they are seen as threats. Now, yeah. Kellen is probably the biggest strategic threat to the two guys, but we've seen that she hasn't exactly excelled at the challenges so far, though, of course, that could change if a puzzle gets thrown in. So what I'm trying to say in a longer winded way is, yeah, it makes sense that they would target Chelsea as a threat.
Yeah, I mean, because here's the thing. If you go back many, many years and when Jenna won, I believe she won. Didn't she win like 3 immunity challenges, if you remember, or like 4? I mean, it was kind of crazy. Like she just went on a winning streak of immunity challenges and everybody just wanted to vote Jenna out. And then she kept winning the immunity challenges and then she made it to the end and then she won. And it's the same thing with like Mike Holloway, who just became he was a challenge beast and he was winning all of the immunity challenges. And so it's one of those situations where if you have a set plan with what you want your final three to look like, and this person over here has a really good shot at continuing to win immunity challenges when we want to vote them out, that messes up your final game plans. And so it's one of those situations where you have to look at who you're competing against. And if she's someone who's already proven that she can do these challenges well, she won 2 in a row, kind of. I guess someone credited her with 1.5 because she was really third in the second immunity that she won. But still, I mean, I feel like that is a legitimate reason for them to look at her and say, you know what? She is going to be a threat to our end game, to the plan that we have in place, because if she wins immunity, it could throw off the vote and how we want things to come, you know, to fruition at the end.
Yeah, I agree. And I know what, you know, they're saying that she won that one where the tribes were split and everything. And I guess technically they're correct. But on the other hand, she didn't really have anything left to fight for. You know, if we don't know how long she truly could have lasted if
right.
she were still fighting for immunity. I mean, at that point, she was fighting to see which tribal council went first. Who cares? You know, I think
true.
If she were still
that
fighting for immunity, she maybe could have lasted longer. So.
Yeah, no, absolutely true. I give her credit. She won yep. 2 immunity challenges.
All right. The seventh rule talks about getting and playing idols and advantages. And like so much else about Chelsea, we didn't see her looking for idols. But in her interviews, Chelsea said that she looked high and low and for long periods of time, but she was just never successful.
24/7. That's what she looked 24/7.
That's a lot. Yeah, that is
that
a
is
lot.
That is a lot.
She
like,
when
are you,
some sleep.
When are you doing the... Right. And you got to do challenges. You got to strategize. When is all that happening?
Now, one other thing I do want to bring up is that Chelsea said on Twitter back at the Bradley vote that although one reason she sat out for the challenge was because she believed she couldn't physically throw that challenge while Dominic could, she also wanted to look around the sit out bench to see if there was an advantage lying around. Obviously thinking of what happened with Michaela missing one sitting right at her feet. But then she didn't mention that in any of her interviews that I saw, even when she was discussing that challenge throw. So I'm really not sure if she was serious or joking when she mentioned it on Twitter, but I at least wanted to throw it out there.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think, again, future survivors got to keep that in mind. You know, look around those right. sit-out benches.
All right. So now we move to Appendix A. And the key to this appendix is, of course, to keep your end goal in mind. And this is talking about the other players, not the one who was voted out. And whenever possible, vote out the weak, then the strong, then the weak, then the strong. At this point in the game, people should still be voting off the strong players who are not in their alliance. Theoretically, it seems that would have meant Wendell for most of the players, but I think Sebastian is a bit high on himself in terms of his chances to win in the end, even against someone who Bogarts all the power in the game now. So to be blunt, he should have stuck with Kellen and company, and they could have at least smoked out Wendell's idol.
He is high all the time. That's his
Listen, but that didn't happen.
All right. But I want him in the final three so bad. I really want that moment. I want to be able to enjoy it because it will be the best final three to just listen to him answer these questions. That'll be awesome. That'll be a great moment. Very entertaining.
Well,
I'm looking forward to it.
We'll see. We'll see because we've still got some time before we get there. But anyway, you know, the flip on Wendell didn't happen. So Kellen's crew, or in her mind, Chelsea's crew, targeted Wendell, while the Dominic and Wendell group targeted Chelsea as a strong challenge competitor. And that leaves us with the big strategic question about what Laurel and Donathan decided. And anyone who's been on social media or listened to any podcast since this episode, everyone has their opinions. Believe it or not, I'm no exception. I have opinions.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. So here goes. I know a lot of people think those two should have jumped to the Kellen side and blindsided Wendell. And at first, it looks like that would have been the move to make because they have to get rid of Wendell and Dominic to have a chance at winning. But let's do a little math. And I apologize to anyone who doesn't like story problems, but here we go. So let's say Laurel and Donathan take a shot here. First, there is the question of whether Wendell would still have not played his idol, because as Rob said on Know It Alls, Wendell has a pretty good read on people. So he might have figured it out if Laurel and Donathan did indeed turn on him. But even putting that aside, presuming Laurel and Donathan are successful, they vote out Wendell. They lose Dominic as a tight ally. Kellen still has Chelsea and Angela, possibly Sebastian if he jumps back. Who knows what he's going to do? Nobody can vote out Dominic next week because he has the immunity idol, not to mention the fake immunity idol and the authentic fake immunity idol, and also not to mention his chance of winning immunity. So next week, Laurel, Donathan, or Sebastian are gone. My bet is that Sebastian would not be voted out because he is the perfect jury goat. Next vote comes along, and if Dominic doesn't win immunity either time, then finally he can probably be voted out if he doesn't fool everyone with one of his fake idols. So when all is said and done, absolute best case scenario at the final five would be that Laurel and Donathan are still there with Kellen, Chelsea, and Angela. That puts them down 3-2 against a tight three. It's not a three that's going to break, or at least you would think not. Now, Chelsea has indicated in interviews, and we already discussed this, that she wanted to go to the end with Laurel and Angela because she saw them as beatable. So maybe Chelsea makes a big move and flips to vote out Kellen. But the problem is, again, as we already discussed, right now, from Laurel's point of view, she has no way to know that because Chelsea didn't build trust with her throughout the game like Wendell and Dominic did. What they see, and by they I mean Laurel and Donathan, is a super tight three. So if they make the move to blindside Wendell in this tribal council, they very likely lose.
That's interesting, because she did say in one of her confessionals that there's a group of girls that she could vote with that she knows she could beat, but she can't trust. And then there's this other option of people that she knows she can trust, but she can't beat. So I'm hoping that she's kind of spun things in her head the way that you have, in trying to say, okay, if I go with the people I can trust, is there still a way that I can win this game and get them out of it? My concern for her is she's dwindling. Like, those opportunities are, she's basically down to two at this point, two more votes, if you will, to get out Dominic and Wendell. And I don't know how she does that when they both have immunity necklaces, or they have both have idols, I should say. I mean, one of them is an immunity necklace that's become an idol. So I don't know how she's going to pull that off. I think it was a screw up. I think that she missed an opportunity to at least take one of them out. I think Dominic probably would have appreciated it because now he doesn't need to worry about Wendell. I mean, because Dominic and Wendell have this idea that they're going to go to the final two and cut each other's throat at the final two or final three, I guess, but they're going to bring each other and battle it out. But Dominic did indicate in one of his confessionals as well that he wasn't really sure if that's what he wanted to do, because he's very interested in winning for his family. So I feel like he might appreciate the fact that that happened. And I still think he beats Laurel in the end, even if she does that, even if she's part of the Wendell vote. I still think he beats her. So it wouldn't necessarily hurt his game if she took Wendell out for him.
Well, but that's exactly why it doesn't help Laurel. Because, Stephen Fishback said something similar, that he thinks Laurel could have made it work with a bunch of flipping back and forth. But, you know, first of all, that presumes she has someone to flip to who won't just vote her out instead. And they still need to get Dominic out. And Dominic would know that after they got rid of Wendell, he is the next target, which is exactly why Dominic hasn't gotten rid of Wendell yet. They're both talking about, yeah, we have to stick together at least till the final four. You know, because
one of
them goes out and they lose a shield.
Yeah, but then so if you get Wendell out, then you are just down to Dominic, and then maybe she can get Dominic out next. Because if you look at everybody's situation, they're all competing for that same final three, and they're all trying to determine who they can beat. And I think they all realize they're not beating Wendell and they're not beating Dominic. So I don't think that Laurel would be faulted by the other people on the tribe if she helped take out one of the threats and then said, okay, next week now it's Dominic. Now we can go after Dominic. Like, I don't think that that would be an issue for her. I don't think that Dominic would be able to rally enough troops to go, oh, now we have to take out Laurel because she turned on me. I think, you know, I really do think that Dominic is going to be the lone man on an island, if you will. Perhaps he's got Seabass, who he can try to work with, but I think Sebastian's going to kind of do whatever. I mean, and that's two of them against the remaining ladies, if you will, who are still in the game. I really do think that it would have worked for her. I mean, she's got Donathan. She's got herself, obviously. Kellen would be there. No one's going to argue Dominic should be next. We got Wendell out now. Dominic should be next. We know he's got an immunity neck, or he's got an idol. So he's going to play his idol.
I'm going to cut you off. Yeah. Dominic can't be next. He has an idol. He literally cannot be next.
But that's what I'm saying. So he has an idol. So they know that he can't be next. So they have to do something with the votes in order to force him to play it. He's going to play it. And then you can potentially get him out. I don't know how it helps them to skip over Wendell and keep both of them in the game, because then you only have one target left that you need to focus on. And that's Dominic. Instead, now you have both of them.
But go back to my story problem, okay? Let's say she succeeds beyond her wildest dream. She does everything that you just said. And then it's her and Donathan against a tight three. Her and Donathan are gone. Because especially if she was the one who flipped, she becomes the biggest jury threat now. I was the one who took out those two targets that no one else could. Bye-bye, Laurel.
Well, and I get that. I totally understand that. But now she's put herself in a situation where she can't get both of them out. And if she's sitting in the final three, congratulations, you just got third place. Why don't you rather try to fight against that tight three? Because we know there's a fire-making challenge. So we know that there's a possibility that even if there's a tight three, it's not going to matter if you know how to make fire. She could potentially be sitting in a final three against Chelsea and Angela, or Donathan and Angela, or some combination of that. You know, if she's sitting next to Kellen, it's going to be a little tough for her, obviously. But if she's sitting next to Wendell or Dominic, she loses. So I guess you really have to look at it and go, okay, did I come on Survivor to finish third, or did I come on Survivor to win? And I feel like that move is a losing move.
No, no, making that move is a losing move. I mean, she's guaranteed to lose. She is guaranteed to lose from her viewpoint, not knowing anything about what's going on maybe inside Chelsea's brain, because she can't know that stuff.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But
right.
From her viewpoint, making this move guarantees her loss. Now, does she have a very good chance of winning from here on out? No. But any percent is better than 0%. And there is a way to do it. Rob and I both came independently to the same way of doing it. We're going to have to wait for predictions to get to that point. But
get there.
There is a way that she can do it. Is it likely? No. Do I think that she's in a good position? No, I don't. That, you know, she and Donathan are stuck between a rock and a hard place, and they have been for a while. I mean, they're the last two Malolo. But, you know, doing the math shows that blindsiding Wendell at that point would have been a move that killed their games dead. They don't have much time left. I wish that they would have at least tried to get Wendell to burn his idol, which is what, you know, many people thought Donathan was doing in that tribal council, but then he tweeted that he wasn't. Obviously, Laurel and Donathan need to make a move soon. Probably, well, definitely in the next episode. At the very least, they need to burn off those immunity idols so Dominic and Wendell might be vulnerable at final six and five. I don't know what Laurel's plan is. And the editing leads me to believe that whatever the plan is, it doesn't end up working in the end. But I'm hoping, and I will be predicting, that she begins making her move next episode. I noticed that Jeff Probst told Josh that Laurel and Donathan want to make a big move and take control, but they would risk losing everything. And he added that the players he thinks the audience respects most are those who play to win, not those who stay safe and get further in the game. Well, yeah, this is exactly why I get annoyed with people in the audience who think that way, and with Jeff for encouraging it. Because, as I said just last week, Survivor is a game. The goal should be for players to win it, not try to impress the audience at the cost of their games. And one thing I've said before, and we'll say again, and apparently I need to say it now, is that big moves generally don't win games. Small moves do. Attempted big moves do, however, frequently result in people ending up with a snuff torch.
I feel like that could be correct. As someone who almost suffered that fate, but for an idol that somebody played for her. Yes, I could see that. And hey, I made, as Jeff called, the biggest move that you can do in Survivor, which was put my hand in a bag of rocks and my torch was snuffed. So yes, little moves, people, little moves. Yeah. I agree with that very much. Damn it. I hate it when
you're
right.
As a side note. Yeah, I know. As a side note, one thing I just mentioned is that Laurel and Donathan have been stuck for a while now. And this might lead to some people saying, aha, see, I told you they should have jumped with Desiree and turned the game around. Now, I've said no to that since it happened. And Chelsea's interviews now put the whole idea to rest. She told Mike Bloom, quote, I wasn't included in Desiree's plan. She never filled me in on what she was doing. I didn't want to get rid of Kellen yet. So, without Chelsea agreeing, there's no way Angela would have turned. I mean, I'm not sure Angela would have turned on Kellen no matter what, but definitely not without Chelsea. Desiree had a minority, even if All the Malolos had jumped on board her sinking ship. It was a doomed effort, and Laurel was absolutely 100% right to avoid it.
That is true. That is very true. No, and we, I mean, I don't agree, and we both said this, that Desiree went about that the completely wrong way, because she didn't have Angela and Chelsea in her back pocket when she made the approach to the Malolos, and without them, you got nothing. So what do you even, it was the whole cookie thing, you know, you're trying to, you're promising to make cookies, and you don't have the ingredients. So, you know, it's, so I agree with that entirely, but this one with the Wendell thing, I feel like I guess we have to get to your predictions, because I need to hear how this is all going to work out in the end and how you're going to be patting yourself on the back again, because you're going to say, I told you so. She did the right thing by not voting out Wendell. I want to hear this. I'm ready. Can we do it now?
I'm already telling you she did the right thing, but it's still not going to work out. Don't get me wrong. I don't think it's going to work out. I just think it's kind of like, okay, if I, you know, pick this one, I have a 5% chance of succeeding. And I pick this one, I have a 10% chance of succeeding. Well, clearly you got to go with the 10%, but it's still not a very good chance.
Yes, so, that is true.
Yeah. So we'll get to that soon enough. But in the meantime, we still have Appendix B to go through here. And that deals with the jury phase, how to seed the jury, and what to do when you get to the end. Still don't think it played a big role in decisions this time, but there are some implications. I think both Dominic and Wendell are looking ahead at the path to potential victory and determining which goat or goats to keep. Chelsea may have been a goat as far as strategy, and indeed, I believe Dominic referred to her as one of the goats when Desiree tried to initiate her uprising. But, you know, then she went and won two immunity challenges. So why take someone who could make a claim to the jury about winning challenges when they can bring someone who was neither strategic nor did well in challenges? With that in mind, it made sense for them to have targeted her, leaving them with other better goat possibilities.
Mm-hmm. His name is Sebastian.
So, well, that is definitely one of them. Yes.
Yes. Love him. He's great. He's a wonderful person. And he really thinks he's going to.
You have a high opinion of him?
He's a fun guy. Like, I had a good time hanging out with him. And, you know, he was my roommate at one of the functions I went to. So that was nice. My husband and I got to be roommates with he and Jenna, which was quite fun. But yeah, I mean, as far as Survivor is concerned, he's such a like laid back kind of attitude about it. But damn it, in his mind, he's beating everybody in the final three. So it's so much fun. It's so much fun. I love it. I love it.
All right. Well, we are coming to the end here for Chelsea. Before I sum up my conclusions, do you have any other final thoughts about her?
I have a few. I do have to say that I feel for Chelsea, because I don't think any survivor should ever describe their survivor experience as unforgettable, which is exactly what she did when she played the word association game. It's hard, because I don't know what the true Chelsea is. Is the Chelsea what we saw on the screen, which was very limited and few and far in between moments? Or is it the Chelsea that we read about in her exit interviews? And is it the Chelsea that we saw in her web confessionals? I don't know. I mean, she did play the game. I think she was doing things well, but she wasn't playing it in a flippant and outlandish, crazy manner. You know, she was playing the game with people like Kellen, who, you know, played a little bit more erratic, a little more out there, a little more exciting, I guess. And she was playing with Dominic, who was a little more brash and someone who gets a little more attention for the way that he presents his thoughts and his ideas. You know, she had a secret alliance with Donathan, apparently, but it was actually secret, so we never saw it, I guess. I don't know. But it's unfortunate, because we still are unclear about a lot of that. There was an idea that was presented by Chelsea in her exit interviews as to how she played the game. And in her mind, she played a very strategic, strong game. and she went out on a big move that she was attempting to make, and she was very proud of the game that she played, and she should be. But she did say it was an amazing experience, and she enjoyed it. But I feel for her, because obviously what we saw on the screen was not necessarily representative of how she thought she played the game. And maybe it really was. Maybe that's really how she did play the game. And unfortunately, I think that she aligned herself with someone who was beating a drum, Navidi Strong, and that got the attention as opposed to Chelsea. And so in the end, I don't know, Chelsea, it took you until day 17 to have a real conversation with Bradley, according to Bradley. Chris Noble said that you didn't click with anyone. Laurel says it didn't seem like you know what's going on. But you thought it was a very cohesive group and that everyone is good people and we're all strategizing together. So again, I'm just at a loss. I'm not sure. I think she seems like a really wonderful person. And I think that she's very smart and comes across in a good way. But I don't know if her idea of how she played the game versus what actually transpired really meshes. And so maybe someday we'll have that question answered, but I don't know if we ever will. So I'm not sure. You take it away. You tell them why she lost.
Well, after going through all the interviews, the web confessionals, and the other information, because we certainly weren't going to get much from what we saw on TV, like you said, there's a big discrepancy between what Chelsea seems to believe was going on and what was actually going on. In many ways, it reminds me of when we looked at Desiree's view of the game, but maybe even more skewed. Chelsea said she made moves. Were they purple moves? I don't know. We saw maybe one, and the evidence points to her being a follower, not a leader, both in general and specifically in that case. Chelsea said she was making a big move and taking a big risk in this episode, but she was just reacting to the guys targeting her. And once again, it seemed like it was Kellen doing the work while Chelsea followed along, like most of the rest of the game. Don't get me wrong. I like Chelsea, or rather, I guess I should say I didn't dislike the little we saw of her. She seems like a nice enough person and a fan of the game. But once she got into it and decided to play under the radar in the early stages, she seemed to have stayed there. Several other players told us that her edit was pretty accurate in representing her. And Jeff Probst noted that the story was being driven more by others and that the players who were featured were the ones who were really taking charge. Chelsea was neither of those. But Chelsea did do one thing to stand out to some of the other players. She won two immunity challenges. Now, yes, those challenges were basically to see who could stand still and do nothing the longest. So, you know, it played into her apparent strengths. But the point is that it made her enough of a threat to take her out of the obvious GOAT category and make her someone who needed to go before even Kellen. Once that happened, Chelsea could only hope that Laurel would trust her now, even though that trust hadn't been built up over the course of the game like it had been between Laurel and the Wendell and Dominic duo. Without that trust, Laurel couldn't jump ship into a situation that would put her at a numbers disadvantage and basically guarantee getting voted out shortly after. Chelsea thought she needed to make big moves, but like so many people before her, she didn't show that she could strategize instead of just following, build necessary trust, make backup alliances, etc. These are some of the small moves that were really necessary, but which she didn't make. And that is why Chelsea lost.
That, I really wish I could have, like, laughed through the entire thing.
You're laughing at my conclusion?
Good. No, I'm not laughing. It's, you're so harsh sometimes that it's funny.
I'm not harsh. I'm not harsh. I'm just honest.
So
the standing still thing might have been a little harsh, but hey, come on. Like, everyone wasn't thinking it and, you know, and talking about it on Twitter. It's not like I was the first one to come up with that joke.
And that's true. You are brutally honest and you're willing to say it. And that's one of the things I appreciate about you. And it makes me laugh a lot. So I'll take it. Enjoyable.
So now we come to the part of the show that normally you don't like, but apparently you can't wait for me to get to predictions because you want to know what's going on here.
Please tell me.
Okay. So first, let me say, and I mentioned this already, that anyone who has listened to Rob's recap podcast this week may find what I'm about to say a bit familiar sounding, but I promise I had this all written up before listening to that podcast. And then I even sent Rob a message on the patron Facebook group telling him he had come up with the same exact idea as I did. The nerve of that guy, I tell you. Anyway, I don't see that Wendell or Dominic can possibly get voted out next episode. I mean, they would just have to be incredibly, well, ballsy or dumb to not play their idols. They have to know that Laurel and Donathan need to make some sort of move now. So those two guys need to play their idols, presuming one of them doesn't win immunity anyway. If Laurel and Donathan put themselves in the position where neither side fully trusts them anymore, like Christy in the Amazon or Dolly in Vanuatu or Odette on the second season of Australian Survivor, it's possible that the original Navidi could decide it's in their best interest to bring the family back together and vote out Laurel or Donathan. I really doubt that will happen because I think Kellen joining up with Laurel and Donathan is about the only path she has to the finals. I think Dominic and Wendell will target Kellen as, you know, the strongest player and the biggest threat aside from them. But I'm not predicting that she'll go. Laurel, Donathan, Kellen, and Angela know about the Wendell and Dominic idols. So the four of them should join together and target Sebastian as an ally of Wendell and Dominic, while hopefully getting the other two to burn their idols. It removes the risk of votes not counting and the two guys getting to decide who gets the boot. And it takes away a solid vote from Dominic and Wendell because, you know, Seabass is on their side. Plus, let's be honest, it frees up a goat position in the final three for everyone else. One thing that could go wrong with this is if Dominic hangs one of his fake idols around Sebastian's neck at Tribal Council and the others, you know, freak out and turn on each other. But both Wendell and Dominic have a history of making fake idols. So it's possible that the other four would gut it out and vote Sebastian anyway. I'm going to go a bit beyond next week's vote now. And this is the part that you've been waiting for, I know. Presuming they succeed in voting out Sebastian. And let's talk about what they should do rather than a prediction of what will happen. At the final six, they should vote out whichever of Dominic or Wendell may be vulnerable. So maybe one of them wins immunity. Okay, fine. Vote out the other one. Then you get down to final five. You vote out the remaining one. So Dominic, then Wendell, Wendell, then Dominic. Then Kellen, Angela, Donathan, and Laurel go to the final four with two duos. Okay, there's no majority here. You got two duos going to a fire-making challenge. That is the path to the end without either Wendell or Dominic in it. It gives everyone else a better shot at winning. Okay, these two duos need each other now. They have to work with each other if any of them wants a shot at winning the game. And really, other than Wendell and Dominic, I only think Kellen or Laurel have a shot at winning the game at this point. But those four need to work together. Now, the big question, do I think this will actually happen? No, not by my read on the edit. But my read on the edit has been wrong before. Clearly, I mean, just look at what we were talking about at the beginning with Chelsea. This should be the goal. Forgetting the edit, this should be the goal of those four players. But getting back to my actual prediction for this coming week, I know I predicted Sebastian last week, and in retrospect, it looked kind of crazy. But the more I think about it now, the more it makes perfect sense for this coming week. So I'm sticking to my prediction like Marshmallow Fluff, and Sebastian will be voted out.
Marshmallow Fluff. I love it. Wow. I was trying to keep track of everything you were saying. I was taking notes. I was writing down numbers. I was crossing off names. And it sounds like an incredible theory, but I do think that we're forgetting about the immunity as well, that the who's going to win immunity. But I think that it's a phenomenal workup on your part that you went through all of that. I, on the other hand, did not come up with such an elaborate workup because I'm very bad at my predictions. But I do think that, I hate to say this, like I don't want to say this, but I feel like we've been like duped with these previews where they show us something in the preview and we're like, oh, well, that can't happen because it was in the preview. And then it ends up happening. And we're like, oh, look at that. Because I feel like some things have been so straightforward. And I feel like the game is going to continue to just be straightforward because everyone is kind of nervous. And this idea of making a big move and then they don't want to do it because it might not work. Everybody's overthinking everything. Everybody's freaking out. And I feel like Donathan is going to put himself in a bad spot. We saw it in the preview, and I know I'm reading into the preview, but I do feel like Donathan is going to put himself in a bad spot. And here's the thing about Donathan. He's such a likable guy that if he does make it to the final three, I mean, his Aunt Patty was like the winner of the episode. This last episode, everybody loves Aunt Patty. And I feel like everyone feels that way about Donathan. Everybody loves Donathan. And if he's sitting in the final three, as far as Wendell and Dominic are concerned, is he this, you know, strategic player that they are? No. Is he the challenge beast like they might be? No. But is he really likable? Yes. Are there a lot of Malolos on the jury? Yes. Is there a good chance that people might just feel for Donathan? Absolutely. So I feel like Seabass versus Donathan as to who we should try to take to the final three, I think Donathan is more of a threat in that position than any of the other possibilities that could go with either a Wendell, a Laurel, or a Kellen, or a Dominic. But, you know, between the other options, like Angela or Seabass, I think Donathan is the one that, well, you know, if you're likable, it could hurt you getting votes in the end. So I feel like Donathan, he's going to be targeted because he's going to try to make a Donathan move. And we're going to be questioning why he did it. Like this past week, was he trying to get Wendell to play the idol? And he cleared that up for us on Twitter by saying no. He just likes to drop truth bombs, I guess, at Tribal Council. So I feel like it's going to be the same kind of moment for Donathan where he feels like this is his time. He has to do something. He's going to feel pressure to make a move and he's going to try it and it's going to blow up in his face, unfortunately, because I love Donathan. I think he's great, but I fear for Donathan. So I think it's going to be Donathan this week.
How do you think it ends up being Donathan? Do you think Laurel, Kellen, and Angela turn on him? Because that would be absolutely horrible for all of them.
Well, I think it would be horrible, but I do think that, you know, Wendell and Dominic will vote. They're going to be together. Laurel is going to be kind of a swing, if you will. She's going to have to make a decision, and it's going to be another one of those situations where, who do I go with? Do I go with Donathan, who I think I can beat in the end? Or I go with Wendell and Dominic, who I can trust and who are watching my back. I'm going to go with those two. Yeah, like I feel like it's going to be another one of those where Laurel's going to be like, okay, I'm going to stick with those guys. Because I really feel like Laurel is like final three blind. And she wants to get to the final three so badly that she's willing to put this, you know, this trust like, oh, well, I know I can trust these guys and I know that they're going to get me where I need to go. Whereas we know from things that we've heard, at least if we want to believe what Chelsea is telling us, Donathan was willing to flip. He was willing to vote out Wendell, and Laurel is the one that put the kibosh on it. So between the two of them, between Laurel and Donathan, Donathan might be the little more, you know, he's willing to shake it up a little bit. He's willing to play the game a little bit more in a kind of spur of the moment, you know, like I'm going to do this because this is what we should do right now. And Laurel is more long-term thinking, and she's almost got blinders on as far as making it to the final three. So she's kind of the safe player, and Dominic's the truth bomb, as we've heard him referred to in tribal council. So I feel like Laurel is going to be left making a decision, and it's going to come down to, you know, do I go with these guys or do I not go with these guys? And she knows that they have idols, and so why vote for them? Because they're just going to play an idol, and I don't want to go home. I don't want it to be my name, so I'm going to vote for Donathan. That's my thought.
Well, let me tell you, I have been saying, now you call it final three blind. I say she's playing, in my opinion, a game to get herself to the best possible point. If next week comes and she turns on Donathan and lets Wendell and Dominic skate by without even using their idols, I will reassess. Because if they don't at least burn their idols next week, then one of them wins the game, I believe.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think that the players know that. I think that Laurel is a smart player. She is a logical player. She is a strategic player. And I think Kellen is similar to that. I think they're very similar, as a matter of fact. I think if they had been on the same side, they would have completely clicked with each other. But you have the situation where Laurel was in the minority and has just been trying to stay around. Well, now is the time she has to make the move. And all, you know, these past couple of votes, people have been saying, oh, she should have made it now. She should have made it now. No, she shouldn't have. I've explained multiple times now why she shouldn't have. She would lose the game. She may still not win, but she definitely would have lost by moving sooner. And now we just have to see what happens here. Because if she does, and, you know, whether or not Kellen does, but if she does what you're saying and turns on Donathan without at least getting Wendell and Dominic to burn idols, then there's trouble. And I don't know how anyone gets out of it. Just to address something you said about how what I mentioned earlier didn't take into account winning immunities. You're right, because it was a plan. This is the only way the plan can work. If Wendell or Dominic, whoever is left at Final Five, wins that immunity, then yeah, the whole plan goes up in flames. And maybe that's what happens. Because like I said, I don't think the plan will end up working. I think it's a good plan, but it's not foolproof. And, you know, just from my read on the edit, I don't think it'll end up working. So it's quite possible that whoever's left at Final Five, whether it's Dominic or Wendell, you know, presuming the rest of the plan were to work right, they could win immunity, and that would blow the whole thing. Now, the whole thing may get blown up sooner than that. Something may happen with Donathan, or they may believe that one of those fake idols is actually real and then turn on each other instead of turning on Sebastian. There are a lot of things that could go wrong.
Absolutely. I guess we just have to wait and see.
Yes, yes.
Do you want me to ask my magic 8-ball? I can ask my magic 8-ball. I didn't ask.
I know.
Where's your all-seeing eye?
Did you unpack it? 20 feet behind me. No, I unpacked it to take pictures and then repacked it. I can't. I'm stuck here with my microphone and everything. So.
Oh, you're full of go get your all-seeing eye.
All right. Well, before we wrap up, I just want to remind everyone about the RHAP patron program. You can head over to robhasawebsite.com/patron to help support all of the RHAP podcasts, and also take a look at the various Patreon levels to find out what kind of other perks you can get. For example, you can join the patron Facebook groups to join in conversations there, which, as I mentioned, I was talking to Rob in that group about our similar predictions before even recording this podcast. So whoever was there, they may have seen that, gotten a little sneak preview. You can also find out in advance about live events, get first access to tickets, and even have some discounts as well. Rob also does special podcasts and videos just for patrons, and you know there are a bunch of other perks too. So listeners should check out everything at robhasawebsite.com/patron. And of course, after you become a patron and get to the Facebook group, make sure to say hello to both of us there. Now it is time for a hashtag. I have one possibility. Do you have any before I give you mine?
Pat yourself on the back. No,
well,
I can't
pat myself on the back until I give you my hashtag and you say it's great. Then I'll pat myself on the back.
Okay, what's your hashtag?
Hashtag purple moves.
Ah, I like it. That is good.
Okay.
Purple
I don't
moves.
Think it's worth patting myself on the back, but all right. So that is the hashtag for this episode, purple moves. And of course, the hashtag for this podcast overall is YXLost. Make sure you subscribe to all of the RHAP Survivor podcasts by going to robhasapodcast.com/survivor or finding them on your particular podcatcher, whatever that may be. We are also on the reality TV wrap-ups feed. And you know, between those places, you can find all the great RHAP content like the Know-It-Alls, the Wiggle Room, the Recap Show, the Feedback Show, the RHAP B&B, and much more. Also, remember, if you're buying anything on Amazon, head over to the RHAP Amazon page at www.amazon.com/shop/RHAP. You know, you can get some of the things there that are specific, or you can buy more general items. I mentioned last week that I bought a new washing machine on Amazon, and it was delivered just before this past Survivor episode. So just in time, I could start doing laundry again.
Excellent.
Now, yes, besides talking to the two of us in the patron Facebook group, listeners can also follow Jessica on Twitter at JessicaLewis89, and I'm at David Bloomberg. Make sure you follow both of us to see the whole conversation throughout the week. Thanks to Scott St. Pierre, especially for this one, because it's a little longer than most of them, and you might find that strange for a podcast about Chelsea, but hey, we talked about lots of other things too. Matter of fact, I would say that this podcast, like more than, I don't know, 10 times as much as we saw Chelsea on screen. But anyway, thanks to Scott St. Pierre for editing this, and all of the other Why Blank Lost podcasts as well. Also, thanks, as always, to Will from America for the theme song. And thanks to you, Jessica, for another great episode, even if you didn't agree with me on everything.
You know, thank you, David Bloomberg, for making my evening that much more enjoyable. You do make me laugh. And I know I didn't agree with you on everything this evening, but I do appreciate how you get there, because your mind is very impressive at times. So thank you for that. And thank you for listening, everyone. It was longer than usual. I would be eating chips if it weren't so loud, because I do have a bag next to me. But I'll eat those when we're all done, so I have something to look forward to. So until next time.
That's right.
And we'll see if I'm right.
That's true. One of us will be, or maybe neither of us again. All right. We will be in everyone's earbuds again in 1 week. Bye.
Bye-bye.
If you lost Survivor and you're feeling down, David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. This is why Blank lost. Oh, baby, this is why Blank lost.